Hello, everyone. Welcome to the big show. Yep, we're back. Despite it being summer and you know, all of that. And yeah, we have the BTN Summer of Fun, of course, because yeah, nothing going on in the news right now. It's deader than dead, kind of. So I have, as always, a really cool vacation ready, travel ready panel with me. And I'm going to start top left from my perspective and say hi to the man in front of a really large river of some sort. Hi, Ian. How you doing?
It's a reservoir. There's a reservoir
nice.
Behind me. And yeah, hi. I'm good this week. Been training, been doing stuff. It's been the usual kind of things. Mm-hmm. And in England, we're melting because it's too warm.
Yeah,
we're
also,
all
you
melting.
Know. Yes. You know, it's also like if you're not complaining about the weather, you're not happy. Right.
It's not happy. No, exactly. It's warm. Mm-hmm. I'm hot.
But it is really warm, I have to say. I was there last week.
Oh, you were there
Wednesday?
Week, weren't you?
Yeah, Wednesday evening.
Did you have the bagels? Did you have the bagels?
I had the bagels, and I also went to the Indian place you recommended.
And what do you think?
Food was good. The service was...
You're in London.
Yes. No, I had really good service the other places. It's not that one.
Which one? The curry place.
Yeah, it's kind of.
Yeah, I can't remember now. The food was epic. The food
mm-hmm.
was.
The food
I had
was
some
really
lamb
good.
That was. Yeah. Had a lamb curry. I can't remember what it was
yeah.
called. It was out of this world.
Yeah.
I'd have
it was
again
really
every
good.
Time.
I didn't do lamb because I can't. But yeah. But I mean, you're right. The weather. I mean, we were baking in the tube. Like especially the central line, especially like was really bad.
Yeah, I was down further down south, same family at the weekend, mm-hmm. and that was really warm. It was way warmer than I expected it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was really bad. Speaking of really warm weather, I hope it's not burning warm. Tom, how are you doing?
I'm doing fine. Weather's pretty mild.
Oh,
so,
nice.
Kind of perfect temperature.
Mm-hmm.
I'll take that.
I'll take it, too.
Been a bit busy. I've been away for a couple of weeks. Did a trip to see some family.
Mm-hmm.
Back, and I'm getting ready for kind of a business trip, a consulting trip. So
nice.
I'm busy. I'm
mm-hmm.
busy.
Sounds like it.
For a
retired and
busy.
Busy. Right. So
it's all relative.
Yeah, people told
to
me when you
working,
retire, you get busy.
I'm not that busy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's what I've heard. Yeah, you get busier when you retire.
No. I mean, working 8, 9, 10 hours a day is busy.
Okay. Depends probably on your work. Anyway,
yes.
Yeah. This is the Mac show. No, this is the big show. And see, I'm not gonna lie, it's really hot here. Like we had temperatures in probably 30 something degrees Celsius, like somewhere
yeah.
in the 90s.
Wow.
And humid and all of it, so I'm kind of cooked as well. And I didn't do that much today. I was mostly stayed inside. I did go out for like grocery store run real quick, and that was it mostly. I was like, yeah, no, thank you. So yeah, but it's gonna be nice in the evening when I'm done. So there's that. Not much more to yeah. report other than the meetup that we had in London was epic. Like, it was really cool. Met tons of really great people, had way too much really good food. Walked a ton. I think it was like 20-something thousand steps a day, about, what was it, 18, 19 kilometers a day. So that
yeah,
was
yeah.
that was good. Every day I walked. I did a lot of really nice walking tours. Basically every day I had like a little plan. I was like, okay, I'm going to go this way. My favorite, I have to say, I went up from, oh crap, what was it now called? It's something with lime something.
Limehouse?
It's near my land, basically. I went
Limehouse.
Up from Limehouse. Yeah, I went basically up from Limehouse along the Regent Canal, up to Victoria Park, around Victoria Park, and then back down, basically, to my
oh,
land.
Yeah, that's perfect.
It was really nice. It was my favorite. Like, I took a ton of really nice, like, spatial photos and all of that. So, that was my favorite. Like, I have to say, I did a lot of other. I called it the BBC tour, because I passed the old BBC building. But I really went up, like the parks and all of that, and then up and down. I was basically going back and forth places. So
that sounds like fun.
It was really good. Yeah, as I said, I had planned a couple routes, and people could join me. I think only once someone joined me because they were like, "Yeah, we're not walking that much." I'm like, "Okay." They still walked a lot, I have to say. So that was fun. I said it was a really great weekend. Met a lot of really great people, also from the London area. Like not just, I mean, we were there with I think 5 or 6 countries. So it was nice. Yeah. Anyway, that was my weekend. Today's topic is, I think, very apropos. Could call it, because we're going to talk about traveling. We did talk about travel gear on the Mac show. Even last week or the week before? No, the week before, I think. Because last week I wasn't there, so probably not. Anyway, so we thought we'd mix it up a little bit, not talk again about travel gear, but talk more about general like approaches to travel. Like how do we travel? How do we plan travels? What tools do we maybe use also by preparing for or using during while we're traveling or after even? Like stuff like that. So that's today's topic on the BTN Summer Fun. And if you don't know, it's the Everything Goes episodes. So when nothing is happening, we go into Summer of Fun until usually it lasts until Apple's September event or the week before, because it's usually when we do our BTN keynote pokers. So the week before we will stop. But until then, yeah. We'll just talk about whatever we want. We'll do whatever we want. Have no format. Also, a kind of that way. So that's what it is today. So who wants to lead us into the topic? Who has?
Like, all right, I'm going to come with a contentious topic.
Sure.
When do you arrive at the airport?
Oh, that's a great topic.
When?
Early.
I will come back. I am Dad on Travels. So I will arrive. It says 3 hours, and I'm there 3 hours before. I guarantee you, I will be exactly 3 hours before, and I will do all my stuff, and then go and sit in the lounge and relax because I know I'm in the right place. Mm-hmm. That's all. I have friends that will always leave it to the last minute and come whizzing through, and I can never live life on the edge like that. That just grinds my gears and winds me up no end.
So here's the decision that I make, or the criteria. What's the worst thing that can happen if you get there early? You sit and drink coffee and check your email. What's the worst thing?
Seth, the retired person who has nothing else to do.
What's the worst thing when you get there? Well, even when I was working, you know, if I was traveling with the other people, they were saying, so what time should we catch the train? And I would always pick the earlier train.
That too. Generally,
I mean, I don't want to be there. I don't want to be there 5 hours early, but I also don't want to have no slack, right? Mm-hmm. You have to have some slack.
Yeah, you do.
Agreed. A little bit of wiggle room. You want to build in a bit of wiggle
room. I've had more than enough stuff
because it's so unpredictable. You know, security, you know, in the U.S., going through TSA can take 10 minutes or it can take an hour and 10 minutes. That's probably the biggest, security is probably the biggest variable.
Actually, not for me. Security is usually the fastest.
No, U.S., I mean, San Jose Airport, it can be literally 5 minutes or an hour and a half.
I've broken down now and will always pay on my outward flight for fast passes. So I basically get the fast queue.
Yeah.
And that's a default now. It just does not happen. I do not do it any other way. I will always pay for fast checking.
Same.
Because it just
I don't pay for it. I get it for free.
Well, yeah, I get it for free. My employer pays for it, but yeah.
Well, no, actually, not even that. I have both my credit card and my airline status give me basically always access to the fast lane. So.
Oh, that's cool. So yeah, no, I pay the £10, and honestly, it's worth it every time. I will always pay it because then at least. I've got shorter queue full of people that I'm hoping know that they need to take stuff out of their bags. But now, actually, improvements in the airports that I use, again, it varies from airport to airport.
Oh, yeah. Every airport's different.
But they've got updated scanners now. So mm-hmm. generally speaking, I can go through, just plonk my bags in the basket, mm-hmm. take the belt off and empty my pockets and go straight through.
Mm-hmm.
That's as much as I need to do now, which is fantastic. Yeah, I'm very happy for this.
Yeah, that's fantastic. I'm kind of probably in between you two. No, actually, in between you and the extreme. For me, the whole thing is about, I don't want to get stressed. Right. I want to, like, it's stressful enough, everything. And I'm like, I don't want to stress that I will make the flight or not. So it's not the 3 hours or the 2 hours rule that I don't care. I'm like, that's anyway a guideline. You can come 5 hours early and if something gets messed up, it doesn't matter. But the rule for me is, as you said, like, what could happen? And how much time do I want to pad my schedule for it? And I don't mind, as you said, at all, sitting at the airport lounge and working there. I'll have my Mac with me. Right. Or Macs, if I'm traveling with like both personal work, I can work. I can sit in the lounge for 2.5 hours and work there. It's not a problem. Yes, it's not as comfortable as at home. But I've had it happen where it's like, I left even, what was it? The train ride was supposed to be 1.5 hours. And I left around 4 p.m. and the flight, so 4 hours early. And I barely made it. Because the trains got canceled, you know, Germany. The trains got completely canceled. And I had to take an alternative route that took 2 hours. Because it stopped at every little thing.
Every little small station, yes.
So, and I still made it. And I still made it with some time. Like, I was still there in time for check-in and boarding and everything. So,
I like that way of putting it. I agree. It's the stress. Traveling can be stressful mm-hmm. enough already. You're kind of tired, and especially if it's business travel, you know, you're kind of tired. And
exactly. After a day's of
vacation, on vacation, I don't need stress.
Yeah, exactly. It works both ways. Because if I'm traveling for work, inevitably it's an mm-hmm. early flight to get me there. So I've got some working day left when I get there. But our place is quite good about travel. But even mm-hmm. so, I generally tend to get early flights.
Mm-hmm.
I don't mind getting through the airport. I'll have a breakfast. I'll sort any emails out that need dealing with. If not, I won't. And just, I'll read my book. It's fine.
Exactly.
I'm waiting for a flight. You know, it's great.
Yeah.
And then eventually I'll end up on an aeroplane. Yeah, this is all good. You know,
mm-hmm.
there's no great fuss or worry about it. It's just I like to get it dealt with.
Yeah. It's not stressing about being early, right? So it's not, I have to be 2 hours, 3 hours early, I'm going to stress to get there. I'm like, if I'm there 1.5 hours or 1 hour before boarding, I'm like, whatever, it's fine.
Right.
It's like still plenty of time.
Yeah, no, I kind of think, well, I look at the thing, well, I need to be at 3 hours. That's fine. I plan for that. That's fine. I get up. I set off. I know I've got all of, it's like Thompson's. Yeah. I've got all that buffer now. That
exactly. So,
if the roads go wrong on the way, I've still got time.
But that's exactly my point. You target, let's say, 2-ish hours. If it ends up being 1 hour because, I don't know, something took a little bit longer, security took a little bit longer, whatever, you're like, whatever, it's still fine. Right. I still got a full hour. Like, who cares? Right. So you leave and then 10 minutes in you forget. You remember, it's like, oh shit, I forgot something important. You need to return. Yeah, you're like, you don't have to stress about it. You're like, I have so much time, I can do that. Like, you could probably go back. I mean, it depends. You could probably go back entirely from the airport, pick something up, and go there and still have enough time. At least
it's true. If you're close enough, I mean, my regional airport is. My local region airport's about 45 minutes an hour away, depending on the day and the roads.
Yeah, so that means if you're there 2 hours, you could probably, go back, pick up whatever you forgot. I mean, maybe you can check in your luggage already, go back and then come and whatever, it wouldn't matter.
Yeah, but I don't check back. That's the other, the other thing I've learned from pained bitter experience, or the same sort of thoughts of aeroplanes, if I'm traveling anywhere in Europe now, I generally only go hand baggage.
You're one of those stupid people. I hate those people, I have to say.
I don't.
I mean, you're also a man, so like, for you, it's easier. But
It's easier for a man. But I throw my bag in the top of the thing. I've got my rucksack under my feet.
Mm.
I'm done. I get off. No. I take those two things with me. I don't have to wait for the stupid conveyor belt thing with the lottery with my bag turns up or not. I can then walk straight out of the airport, get in a cab, and go. I'm very happy.
I'm a total opposite because I don't want to drag my bag around
exactly.
the airport.
Exactly. I'm with you. And
I keep essential stuff for some.
Exactly. Crayon. Yeah. Yeah, exactly. That's what I do. No, here's why I kind of hate that these days. I travel so much, and I know plenty of people, including my boss and colleagues, that do that. I mean, they said all men, so easier for them. But it's also everything takes forever, and all the luggage compartments are stuffed because everybody these days is taking everything like in hand luggage. And I'm like, why? For me, that's, again, like Tom said, the stress thing. I have to carry it around. I have to pull everything through security, all of that. No, I have a ton of electronics with me, so I still have a lot of hand luggage, but I don't want to add more to that.
I don't know why. I don't find it a problem. I've done it now for European travel. I'll do it. If I'm coming across the pond,
okay,
I will check a bag. But then I'm almost iffy about that because I lost my bags on the way home last time. And so I'm either getting a direct flight, either get a direct flight, or it's just a pain in the ass.
No,
but the other trick for this is, I always have play for. I generally travel on one or another budget airline. This is default. When I travel on a budget airline, I'll pay the extra priority boarding.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I generally get that generally on the plane first.
I get that for free.
I will try and make sure I get a seat somewhere in the. Mm-hmm. In the first 10 rows.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm on early, first 10 rows, my bag goes in the overhead, I have no problem.
Yeah.
No, it works fine. And I always have to have an eye. And here's the other travel necessities. You're tall too, though, aren't you, Patrice? Have to be outside, have to be in an aisle seat.
No.
Extra
window.
Room if
window.
I get it.
Window.
Window. No.
Window. Always aisle. Window. Always aisle. Window. Aisle. Window. Aisle. There's a fight here. Yeah. Window aisle. Seat. No. So okay. Let's talk. Let's talk about window aisle in a second.
I don't want to be trapped. I mean, window seat is potentially more comfortable because you don't have to.
Let's talk about that. I want to talk about that the luggage thing first before we talk window aisle.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'll tell you my window, but I'll get that in a second. I said, I get it. I mean, I get priority luggage, whatever. I get it that some people are like, oh, and I don't have to wait and it can leave right away. I don't care. I'm like, it takes wherever long it takes to fly. The travel, even within Europe, takes anyway a certain amount of hours. The bag is not going to matter. And yes, my bag has been left behind. Actually, last time I went to Lisbon, it got left behind in Zurich for like half a day. It happens, but that's why I have the most important things in my bag. And everything else I can buy locally. Like if I really need something, I can just go to a store. Like I travel to cities. I can go to a store and buy it. I don't care. It's like, and it's not a big deal, especially these days. Like they've never lost it. I mean, it was close with United once, but even that showed up. They just didn't know where it was, but I did.
I'm like that about toiletries. For the most part, I'm like that about toiletries. I'll take the very bare minimum of those, mm-hmm. and I'll buy locally or use what's in the hotel.
Generally,
it's like
they have
it smells out, and it smells androgynous enough that it doesn't matter if a guy wears it or a girl wears it.
Yeah.
So fantastic. So that's generally what I'll do because mm-hmm. I'm too lazy to take bottles and things with me. It's just more hassles than I can be bothered with.
Yeah.
Clothing things are slightly more of an arse. If I'm going somewhere where I'm probably all right in the States, again, there are people as tall as me. In Europe, sometimes it's not as easy to get things that fit well. It just becomes a pain.
No, that's not true. You just don't want to go. You just don't want to go.
I don't want to go clothes shopping.
Exactly. So there it is. That's the real reason. Because no, I mean, even for me, I'm a tall bitch, and like, for me it's hard. I mean, unless I'm in Scandinavia, for me it's hard to buy clothes sometimes because there is not a lot of options. But even for me, I can find easily and comfortably any place I go clothes if I need to. How do I know? Because I go shopping there often, so I know.
One of the few times that my baggage got delayed, it was on a work trip, and I was going to Allentown, Pennsylvania, mm-hmm. to see AT&T.
Mm-hmm.
And Of course, my luggage doesn't arrive. I have a meeting at 8 o'clock the next morning. You know, it's Allentown, you know, right? It's Allentown. I'm not going to find a Macy's or something to get clothes. And I, you know, knew the people.
Yeah, there's probably a Walmart or something.
So I went to the meeting in the clothes that I traveled in. Yeah. I think I had a polo shirt and jeans and tennis shoes. And I said, sorry, my bags got lost.
Happened.
They all laughed.
Yeah, people laugh when they get on with the day, isn't it? It's no one really cares, do they?
It happened to me last time. I mean, I could have gone shopping, but I was like, nah, it's going to be fine.
Yeah, no, I agree.
I actually washed my clothes in the hotel room real quick, like in the evening before, and it was dry the next morning. And I was like, yeah, fine.
This is the reason why I travel with my bag.
No, unless not a problem. I could have done that.
Unless I'm coming across the pond, I won't bother.
I would have done it, and I could have taken some clothes with me, but I didn't see the point. I'm like, as I said, if it's really important, I can go shopping, and if not, I don't need them. And I don't want to carry them around. Well,
plus, as a man without hair, the only purpose of the hair dryer in the hotel room is to dry your clothes after washing.
Hair dryer and iron, yes.
Hotel room hacks, yes, indeed.
That's true, yeah. That's true, you need an iron as well. I see the mess that all that hand luggage creates, and people are trying to, I mean, that's the other part, you know, people are people, they're trying to push it. I mean, you see people coming on board and you're like, I'm not sure that's allowed, but nobody said anything. So
there's so much drama on boarding a plane now because of the carry-on thing.
Yes,
and of course the airlines are doing it for financial reasons.
Yeah, for sure. Every kilogram counts.
Ryanair in Europe are making a real big deal of it. The guy who runs the company is an utter bastard. There's no other word for him. I can't think of his name, but he's a complete money grabbing bastard. He'd have you sat on the wings if he could charge extra for it.
Oh, yeah. It's like, hey, you know, seat with a view.
From the running gear. If you could charge extra if you did angle from the dangle from the running gear, he'd do it. You know, there's no two ways about it. This guy is the worst.
Adventure for
And he's now incentivizing his staff to go looking for people with big bags because he'll give them a bonus if he gets the upsell of the... I think it's a €75 charge for for an oversized bag.
That's why I don't fly airlines like that. I mean,
I
will pay. Maybe I'm privileged because I can pay an extra $200 or $300 to fly, you know, United or something.
Yeah, exactly.
Where I get charged for bags. I get to pick a seat.
Mm-hmm.
So I came back with this airline.
I hate low cost. Even Southwest Airlines.
Same.
I came back on my most recent trip with Ryanair. What was interesting, though, is the guy that was going around doing the looking for big bags, he went round the poverty guys. He was picking on anyone who wasn't priority.
To see who we could find. Because you've already paid for it.
Whereas me, I paid for my bag, but I mean, it was probably... should fit. According to people I buy the bags from, it should fit. But
he didn't even look at any of us. He's had my money once already.
Yeah. Yeah.
He wasn't
going to go at me. I was going to get a bollocking if he came near me. I can tell you now.
I'll tell you one thing. I mean, I do understand the financial side of it. I mean, if you're selling it, if you're buying it or selling a ticket for like $20 to go whatever, you need to make up the money somewhere. Yeah, and I mean, I know from like airplane design, like they optimize airplanes to the gram. Like, there's nothing in it that is not absolutely either mandatory for security reasons or
There's a reason why there aren't magazines on airplanes anymore.
Yeah, they're too heavy.
It's crazy. There's a reason why they don't give you a blanket anymore.
There's some airlines still do, but it depends. It also depends on the flight, where you're going.
Interesting, though, you say about the whole weight thing. Mm-hmm. I remember taking one of the short hop flights that goes from the UK across to Dublin.
Mm-hmm.
And they very strictly controlled how we got out of this little prop thing that we went over.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And again, because I said to the guy, I was a guy, I can't remember who it was. I said, why are you getting us out in very specific? I said, if we tip it over, if you don't.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
And it is all about balancing the weight.
Planes have to be balanced.
You know, and yeah. It was just that. Yeah, so these little tiny, whatever they are, flying.
I don't know if you've ever had that happen, but it has happened to me where the pilot came on and said, yeah, I mean, we have a slight delay. No, we have a slight delay. We need to reshuffle some of the cargo.
Yeah. No.
Happens, because if they had some last minute either people on board, people that booked in last minute, or the other way around didn't show, that can happen. I mean, would be a lot, I think, but can happen that it's just in the wrong place.
In the good old days before 9/11, when flights weren't completely packed, you know, before deregulation really hit, sometimes you'd be on a pretty empty airplane and they'd ask people to move up because they, you know, they want the weight over the engines, not in the tail.
Yeah. It's true. They still do that these days. I've had flights that were quite empty. So
yeah.
But these days the systems would usually do that before. Like they won't even ask. You simply go through the gate, go through the scanner, and then you get, oh, you have a new seat.
Yeah.
That's how they do it usually.
Yeah, but on the subject of seats.
Mm-hmm.
I got absolutely reamed by BA coming home from Vegas.
Okay.
I went carefully on their website. You can pick your ticket up. Mm-hmm. You can pick your seat, however many hours it is or however many days it is before the flight went on.
Mm-hmm.
You paid my $50 to have a nice seat on the aisle, out of the way of everybody. Yeah. I think I was behind the toilets, but at least when I had some leg room, I was happy.
Yeah.
So I get on the plane. It's not the same plane as the one that was in the picture.
Oh, shit.
Therefore, my numbered seat was now in the center of a set of three, a row of three.
Yeah, it's basically a 3-3-3 setup or a 2-3-2 setup or something like that. Yeah.
The dreaded equipment change.
So there is a 6 foot. there is a 6 foot two man squashed between two chairs with a very carefully worded conversation with a person behind them that I would kill them if they reclined their seat.
Oh yeah, the whole other topic. Yeah,
I'm not very big. I am now cramped. There was a guy next to me. We were both crippled the entire flight. We took it in turns of getting up and going for a walk and things. Mm-hmm. We were both crippled.
Yeah.
We've both been to tech conferences, different companies, but the same sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Sat crammed in this plane, wishing we could sleep and can't because there's not enough room.
You can't move. Yeah.
I can't move.
You get folded into your seat and that's...
Yes, basically. And so my mantra is I'll see if I could afford to get the company to swing for it. I'd have business class. I can't. Lovely when I have had, but I'll get it'll be cattle. So I'm making sure I have on both directions a seat that's numbered and named. We have a company doing bookings now, so I'm hoping I can say, right, I want this.
Yeah.
So Patrice, why do you like window seats over?
Okay.
Aisle?
Yeah. So very simple. I mean, there's a whole debate, and there's good reasons for both. For me, it's two things. One, I like to look outside. It is just like the stuff you see on the plane, like on the ground, like you can watch all the ground crew and the operations and the other planes and like all of it. You can see the taxiway, like you can follow procedures, all of that. Super interesting. And even in the air, I mean, you can see, I've seen the Alps, I've seen beautiful sunsets, all of it. So I just like to see outside and see what's going on. And the other part is if I'm sleeping, I can just lean against the wall and sleep.
Right.
Yes.
I agree with all that.
If like a Frankfurt that I did exactly that. I was on the, I got that seat for the same reason. My head was getting.
Yeah. So that's, I understand the part about not being able to get up. It is possible, but yes, it is inconvenient, and I get that. I mean, that's why if I can swing it, I'll do business class row one, because then I can get up and walk past them. It's easy peasy.
Well, it's also it's also just having room. If the flight is completely full,
You
can kind of, you have some air next to you on the aisle. So.
No, because then the other part is there's constantly people walking past you, which I also don't.
Yeah, that's true. But for me, it's like leg room. You know, if you have three people in a 3-3-3 kind of thing.
Yeah.
You know, when there isn't traffic, I can, you know, at least stretch my leg a little bit. You know, I don't have to leave it there. I just need to stretch my leg a little
bit. No, I get it. And I've debated both and I've done both. But as I said, I prefer, and I mean, usually on the I most of the time do shorter flights, like 2-3 hours.
I agree with the benefits of a window seat being able to look out. I mean, that too.
The one sort of thing about which didn't help for either of these situations is flight coming home.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sat next to a very large lady.
Mm-hmm.
But
been there.
I barely had enough room for myself in my
seat. Been there. Be there. I've said to a larger man that and also like spread. Like he was like, not even like he's already larger than whatever. Now he was like, I need the space for myself.
I almost said, do you want to cuddle up? I mean, honestly, for this purpose, would you like to cuddle up? I mean, we can both be a bit more comfortable then for the next 2 hours or 4 hours we're on this plane.
No, he wasn't.
There's nothing. Sorry. Anyway, almost got to the point, but we managed to do it. I mean, I watched a film near enough because it was. Yeah, and again, where we were both crammed in together, that's ridiculous.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
I don't think where I was coming back from. It could have been Prague, but yeah, I was utterly jammed in the seat. With this,
yeah, this I've done that. Middle seat jammed into between two bigger people.
I was on the end still, but the person sat next to me was enormous.
Yeah, I think it was.
No, I didn't really have my seat that I wanted.
I think it was on a flight back from New York to like Phoenix.
So yeah,
5 hours.
And the problem with the people of size. If the plane is completely full and they can't move you or that person, they won't move the person of size. They'll tell you, well, you have the option of deep planning and having us rebook you.
Yeah, great.
Yeah,
thanks.
Yeah. I would only have complained if it was going to be a 10-hour flight, or I would have had a conversation and said, we're both going to be uncomfortable for the next 2 hours and we're both trying desperately not to touch one another. Let's just relax and not worry if one of our arms go across each other. It's really not going to matter for 4 hours.
That's the right approach.
Let's both be comfortable.
Yeah, that's the right approach.
No one's
going
to.
Unless the other person is a complete tool. Yes.
Yeah. You can see both of us were trying desperately not to, but we couldn't help but knock each other. You know, it's. I think we'll just let's worry about it. It's not going to matter for these few hours. And you'll never see me again because we'll both be disappearing off. You know.
Yeah, so true. Yeah.
So I'd like to talk about a more sort of abstract topic about travel, comparing, you know, the not old, but, you know, maybe 25, 30 years ago traveling compared to now. Of course, there was a huge change, at least in the U.S., with deregulation and flights getting cheaper and things being more crowded. But I think the internet and the ability to plan your travel online and book hotels and so on has kind of made it hard to do the kind of travel where, you know, if you have a big trip and you're going to say, like we went, my brother and I went to South Africa, instead of like getting, you know, your initial hotel in Cape Town.
Yeah.
And then once you get there, figure out where you want to stay next.
Yeah. Yeah.
Really hard to do that now.
You think so?
Yeah. No, I think that. I think
I do that.
I find the opposite.
Because all the hotels are booked. Like in Cape Town is a friggin' busy place now.
Yeah.
And you can't, I mean, literally, you can't find a hotel room. You know, you have to keep going further and further
Depends
out.
Depends maybe also on the place, yeah.
Right, so if you're in Cape Town in peak travel season, you know, even some of the little towns, you know, you just never know because it's so easy. In the old days, nobody could book a hotel in Richards Bay in South Africa. You had to go there.
There were travel agencies that did that.
Yeah. I mean, that's an interesting part.
Yeah, but most people didn't travel that way, Patrice. Even in the U.S., when you did a road trip, you didn't book all your hotels all the way out. You just figured, you know, I'm on Interstate 90. When I get tired, I'll pull off and find a hotel. That's really hard to do now.
I don't think so, but it might also be a matter of money, right? At the end, if you're willing to pay more, then you might be able to find something.
Sure. If you're willing to stay at the Ritz, no problem. Yeah. But I just did this trip to Washington, and you know I'm on the road, and I ended up wanting to stay in Eugene, Oregon, was about the right place, so I booked a hotel. When I got there, guess what? That hotel was completely booked. And the hotel next to it was completely booked. And the hotel down the street was complete. You know, I was asking the guy, they're all booked. It's just summer season, people book ahead. And
that's interesting because when my first trip to the States was me and my son, we did a road trip out of the PCH.
Right.
And we literally booked our first hotel, just the one outside the airport in LA when we landed. I had my iPad with me, and basically on the Wi-Fi and the thing, I was on TripAdvisor, on Booking.com or TripAdvisor, finding the next hotel and just say, that's another couple hours driving away. That's fine, we'll have that one. Boom.
Yeah,
and then
that's
we
what
there,
I,
and then
I've
boom,
done
hop,
that.
Hop, hop, hop. all the way up to San Francisco.
But Ian, what you're describing is what I'm saying is the way people travel now. In the old days, you didn't get your iPad and book the hotel for the next day.
Oh, okay.
In the old days, you left the hotel and you started driving and you say, okay, I'm in Cayucas now. Let me go find a hotel.
Okay, that's true. I mean, it is still possible, but you're right. It probably depends on. I think we're traveling more in general, so that makes a difference.
I mean, we have democratized.
Well, we're traveling more, and people tend to pre-book stuff.
Oh yeah,
some people do. Yeah, some people don't. Yeah,
50 years ago, hardly anybody taking a road trip in the U.S. would pre-book anything.
Yeah, I mean, that's true. There's also, I mean, London, for example, there's some places, like, if you don't pre-book a couple months in advance, like, good luck.
Forget it.
Yeah, but that's not how that leads into an interesting question. How do you plan your travels? Do you, like, pre-plan everything, or do you just basically wing it?
I think the idea is my idea anyway, that we follow is to pre-plan the major stops and then have flexibility in between, as much flexibility as you can. You know, unless you've been to a place that you've been before and you know exactly where you want to stay and where you want to go.
Oh yeah, okay, you know? Sure.
When I go to Hawaii, I don't need to pick a place after I get to Hawaii. I know where I want to go.
Mm-hmm.
Things like trips and stuff, generally, I don't book in advance. The only time I've done that was New York, when you buy those multi-pass things that get you onto so many different things. Actually, I think the last time we went, we didn't bother. We just went to one of the kiosks and bought one. It was going to be the same price, so there was no point.
Yeah,
we just went and bought one of those multi-pass things to go and see everything. We stayed in one place, which invariably these days becoming an Airbnb wherever we go now.
Yeah,
and that's the other thing. How many of you now have changed from staying primarily in hotels to now doing more Airbnbs?
We do a little bit of both. Yeah. I think the Airbnbs have a high ceiling. They can be really great places, but they also have a low floor. Sometimes you get
also places. Some hotels too. But hotels usually you have more reviews that you can check.
Yeah, and you have some recourse, right? It is a corporation.
That's true, yeah. Yeah. No, I do a little bit of both. Like, for business travel, I usually stay in hotels. One, it's easier for the payment side, because I can just give them my credit card and be like, here. Which not every Airbnb does. Or not every Airbnb and other types of things like that, apartments, do. And, yeah, it's just easier. And, like, when I'm on business, I don't want to deal with a lot of things. I just want everything to be taken care of.
One thing I found when I used to be every month consistently in the same town, I got bored of staying in a hotel where having nowhere else to sit at the end of the bed.
Yes.
And so I said, right, now that stops now. I'm either going for service departments through work if I can do it, or I'm booking Airbnbs and charging it back.
Yeah.
So I can have a room with a bed in it and stuff. I've got a kitchen. I can cook for myself.
Yes.
I've got a sofa, a TV, and I've got room to sit.
I've been
to that city so many times. I've seen it. There's not much more to see here. There wasn't much in the beginning. In the city, I was going to Reading. You know, it just didn't matter.
Yeah, true. No, but I do the same thing. I guess, like,
Reading.
When I'm in Lisbon, I mean, I usually tend to stay in hotel for the reasons I just mentioned. But every now and then, I'm like, okay, I'm bored by this. Or the hotel is, I don't know, it's expensive or overbooked or whatever. And I'm like, yeah, whatever. I'll just pick it. Or I want to stay like longer for vacation, and then I'm like, I'll just get an apartment.
And most of the time, you know, with the reviews on Airbnb or VRBO or whatever you use, you know, it's like a hotel. You get enough reviews that you can get an idea of if the place is going to be decent or not.
That's true.
And then the only other problems I've run in with Airbnb is Airbnb is fine, but it turns out to be in a place where the neighbors aren't really happy that there's...
That happens a lot. I mean, Vienna has cracked down on it. They've limited the Airbnbs now because there were so many problems, and they're saying, nope. Like, I think you can rent out your apartment for 90 days in a year.
Booked one that was owned by someone I don't think wanted it really to be an Airbnb, and she had the most perfect way it was kept. It was glorious. There was one thing to worry about. You go into an Airbnb, you know, and there's normally some stuff about rules. There was an A4 folder this thick with rules, printed manuals, documents, things. We looked at it and thought, Now I'm there with my mother and my mother and father-in-law, my wife, and we've been up to, it was when my son got married, and it was sort of a day before we went back. We're staying in the other hotel, you know. And honestly, we got back home only to find then we got messages from the owner. Oh, did you have this? And did you leave this mark here and that mark there? Thinking, oh, for God's sake. And we just said, no, we didn't. That wasn't us. And, you know, it's just completely ridiculous. And you clearly don't want to Airbnb your place because you're too precious over it.
Yeah,
you should be Airbnbing it.
Yeah. Yeah, that's so
And then I've gone to the Converse, which it looked quite nice in the pictures. And to be fair, it was somewhere to sleep for the night, but I really wouldn't want to stay there for longer time than that.
I've
and the area
been there again. Yes.
But yeah, but it did the job. But again, it served its purpose. It was cheaper than hotels around the place and served its purpose.
Yeah.
So it can be a it can and all but on the other side of good things about Airbnb, I stayed on a boat on the river in Amsterdam, and that was fantastic. That was beautiful. And when I've visited America a couple of times, we've done Airbnbs, and I've lived in the community. I've lived in the community rather than a sterile hotel somewhere in the middle of nowhere.
Yeah,
and
so
both
true.
Times, that was so much nicer as a travel experience. So much nicer. You got to see the world, the place. Yeah. You got to understand what it's like for the people who live there.
Yeah,
those things are fabulous.
Yeah, but coming back to the travel approach and travel planning, like I approach it kind of very simply. Like my work life is usually so structured and organized, and you have meetings and like a lot of that. That when I'm traveling, especially when I'm traveling for vacation, I don't want that. So my plans usually look like this. These are the flights, and this is either the hotel I'm staying at, or as you said, the first place I'm staying at. And that's where it ends. I do zero preparation for where I'm going. Other than usually the public transport side. Like, okay, if I arrive at this airport, like how do I get downtown? Or wherever I'm going. I don't know. Do I get a car? Do I take a train? Which I prefer usually. That's it. And other than that, I literally in the morning open the app and say, this area looks interesting, and then just keep walking. I'll just see something like, oh, let's go that way, that looks interesting, let's go this way, that looks interesting. If I see a crowd of tourists, I'm like, okay, let's go the other way. That's usually my approach. I do not plan, and I don't want to plan, and I've experienced the coolest stuff, the really most interesting areas by just walking randomly. Even in London, where I've been so many times and walked so many areas, I still do that. And I still discover like the bakery I walked past that turned out to be, I went back to because it was so good. Little, like tiny little bakery somewhere in the Mile End area, I think I want to say. Sourdough. Like couple people in the back baking, you could literally see them under, like they were under the train tracks.
Oh, fantastic.
Really good. And it was a residential area that probably no tourist ever goes to. And I was like, hey, this is perfect. And I came back the last day because I ended up bought a sourdough bread to take home because I was like, I have to try it. And actually I have to send her a message and tell her how it was because we talked a little bit about sourdough. So stuff like that. You would never discover that if you're just following some tourist guide.
No, you're right.
I think that's a good way. I mean, I think there's, you know, if you're going to a place like London, maybe ahead of time you say, I want to see, you know, you're there for a week. I want to see these three things.
Mm-hmm.
Other than that, we're just going to kind of figure out where we want to go.
Yeah. For me, it's usually I want to go to this episode. No, I don't.
And the only thing I have a hard time with is places to stay, because I've had trips where I've had to spend so much time online picking the next hotel. It's like, I don't want to spend my time in London or wherever picking the next hotel. I want to be out walking around. So it's always a dilemma for me. You know, on one hand, you want to be flexible. On the other hand, you don't want to spend your vacation time trying to find a hotel.
Yeah, it just depends.
That's tough. Yeah.
Yeah, it just depends. I mean, I've often done the thing where I had a hotel in London and then I went up to Birmingham. Like, and I was like, okay, I know on this day I'm gonna sometime that day take a train up to Birmingham and stay with you. And like, that's what I did like 10 years ago. also fine. Or I have another hotel in the other place. I'm like, okay, this day, sometime, no rush. I'm just going to take a train and go wherever I'm going. And then there's the second stop that I have where the hotel is pre-booked, basically. I do that often. Like, I usually, you're right. Like, I don't want to spend too much time looking for the hotels.
Yeah. But I do like the idea of sort of having a flex schedule, you know. You have a couple things you want to do otherwise.
Yeah. That tends to be how we do it. We have a few things that we know we want to do.
Mm-hmm.
And then the days in between, if we're staying anywhere, either a hotel or an Airbnb, there'll often be a big wadge of things that you can get, that local leaflets and pamphlets. And we'll quite often sit there in the evening and just flick through and see if there's something, oh, that looks really interesting, let's go there.
No, I never even look at that.
And then next day we'll go, oh, well, that looks fun. Go, let's go do that tomorrow. And then we'll go off and do that. That's worked really well.
I never even look at them. I said this last week, I mean, I did plan some walks, but mostly for the others, because like there was a group we were meeting up and I knew, okay, like Friday, Saturday, Sunday was basically planned time because other people like planning things. So I was like, okay, I'll put something in the plan. But my plan was like, okay, I'm going to leave somewhere in the morning and we're going to walk. And here's kind of the four or five things that you can expect to see. That was,
well, that
even for me, that was already a lot of planning that I usually don't do.
Well, if you're in a group, you sort of, the vector is always towards more planning.
Yes.
Which is you need to. For me.
You need to, because you know, like people, I mean, one, there is people who do not like if things aren't planned. They're kind of, they need that structure. Lost. They need that reliability of there's a plan or there's a person who is kind of helping you follow the plan.
Right.
Whereas I'm usually like, hey, you can do whatever you want. Like, you can join me. You can do whatever. Like, don't, you're an adult. Right. Do your thing. But I had to step out and be like, okay, because we hadn't planned, mostly except for one day, we hadn't planned dinners. And I was like, okay, we're going to this place. We're meeting at this point. Because otherwise they were discussing in circles and, oh, maybe. And it's like, no, okay, stop.
It's like picking a place to eat lunch with a group of people at work.
Yeah. That's
usually a nightmare, that.
Yeah, yeah. So, but with people that nobody wants to make a decision.
Right.
That's usually the problem. Like, they're all like, oh, we could, maybe. And it's like, okay, no, someone needs to make a decision. No, I've had that a couple of times where I'm like, okay, now we're going this way.
Yeah, we've done that with work trips where you kind of go, nowadays we have the super organized lady who looks after all this stuff. She says, you're going here this evening, there that evening. And you go, wonderful, that's lovely, I'll be there. I'll come and eat food, that sounds fantastic.
Yeah, that's me. I'll step up into the plan.
I'm a sort of coordinator person, does all these kind of organizing things. I'll just show up, it's fine. Mm-hmm. That's lovely. For work stuff particularly, I just don't have to deal with it then.
Yeah.
Decision making goes away.
Yeah.
And we get food. We tend to get food brought into us when we're working there. So that's quite nice as well. And company they use. So it's sort of.
Yeah, as I said, so groups are different sometimes. You need
one, you need a lot of questions. Mm-hmm. I've got a question now as a Brit.
Okay, final question.
To an American below me and above me someone who's lived in America.
Mm-hmm.
What's this with this driving for hours and hours? I don't know. If I've got a holiday and I want to spend the holiday doing holiday things, why do I then want to drive 12 hours somewhere when I could get a perfectly good aeroplane or whatever it happens to be?
Because in an aeroplane you skip 12 hours worth of things to potentially see.
But from what I gather, on the interstate and then they're still there for 12 hours solid, cruising along. And,
yeah, I know you can do that.
Try
driving from Phoenix to LA.
Yeah, is that just one more
not super interesting.
There's nothing there. But exactly. You know, you drive in California to Oregon, every hour there's a place you want to stop.
Oh, I mean, in truth, I agree with you. I want to do the next half San Francisco to up to Seattle of the PCH. Yeah. That's my sort of next, maybe retirement it'll end up being before I get to do that. But do the other half. And that, we stopped all the time.
So you would never see if you flew to Seattle.
No,
so here's
drive that because
no, here's my answer. It's two parts. It's one part is cultural. People, I think a lot of people in Europe, but especially in America, like to drive and like to do the road trip. There's some, I think, romantic thing also attached to that, right? It's like kind of romantic to do a cross-country road trip and stop everywhere and experience everything, right? And I think the other part is, yeah, the country is quite big. So you're used to driving a lot more. Like, it's not unheard of to say, hey, I'll drive 45 minutes to get a cup of coffee.
Yeah, that wouldn't be too bad here, but it's the people that will drive 3 hours to get a cup of coffee.
Ian, if
and
you
3
drive,
back again.
If you drive 45 minutes where you're at, you're basically in another country.
I mean, going down to my in-laws at the weekend is a good example. That's nearly 2.5 hours drive, give or take a bit. That's more than enough driving in one
way
day.
Way too long.
I'm quite happy to get there. You know, I'm happy when I get
there. I would fly that. It's too
far. I'm busy main roads that will get me there really relatively quickly.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there are certainly some routes like Phoenix to L.A. A horrible drive.
It's boring.
You know, driving through Kansas and Nebraska is a whole lot of nothing
for many miles.
Yeah,
but
you need a break.
To drive from Washington D.C. to Savannah, Georgia, there's so much to see that you will never see on an airplane.
You need a break.
I mean, I'd rather be on a train. I don't really want to drive.
Yeah, exactly. See, that's smarter. You need when you're driving like Phoenix to LA, you need a brick, you need a rope, and you need like a pillow. Brick on the accelerator, the rope to like hold the steering wheel, and then the pillow to sleep.
Straight,
and the pillow to sleep. it's a horrible drive.
It's really boring, and there stretches of Central Valley in California which will bore you to tears. Mm. But there's still little towns, old farm towns that have cool little shops and. Mm. Restaurants and places to go that
By the way, Germany has a highway like that. It's the fastest highway in Germany because there's basically no speed restrictions, but there's also about 4 cars on the whole thing, and it's like it's like straight and flat for like 250 kilometers, something like that.
The difference in California is
it's still packed.
Yeah, that's
you know, because we have campers and trucks and, all kinds of stuff.
The trip I did over to Grand Canyon, the thing that amused me was the tour guide that was talking to us about it on the bus as we went across. Mm-hmm. And that was a reasonably interesting road, to be fair. We kept talking about unincorporated and incorporated towns, which was kind of, I presume it's one guy
but,
who puts a house
but where,
down.
But where did you come from? From what side?
From LA going out to Grand
Canyon. Yeah, okay. That's not so bad. Phoenix up to Grand Canyon is kind of also more interesting. There's more landscape happening.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I can imagine going the other way. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
You go through Flagstaff and stuff. It's a little more interesting.
Like, Sedona, this whole area. Anyway, on that note, I think we should close this episode. We've talked successfully for almost an hour about random travel things. And I want to post, like, when I ask you now to talk about yourself, I want to post a question. Where are you traveling to next? Or where are you excited to travel to next? So I'll start with you, Tom. Let people know where they can find you and where do you want to travel.
You can find me on Mastodon. I am TomF@sfba.social. And you've hit a nerve because there are so many places we want to go.
Mm-hmm.
We're having a hard time deciding. You're sort of the...
Oh, yeah. I hear you.
Like Central South America, we have a couple spots.
Mm-hmm.
Plenty of spots in Europe. Europe is always a good thing
to come to Vienna
to do. And then we have all over, Africa to explore. So we can't make up our minds.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm with you. Ian, how about you?
Me? Well, you can find me on LinkedIn as Ian Grant.
Mm-hmm.
On Instagram as TIOABOA. I'm starting to play around with that a little bit. And... generally, where am I looking forward to going next? Next, I'm probably going to go up to Inverness and I'm going to go up to Aberdeen. So I'll be up in the north of Scotland. I'm also going to see a bit of the west coast because I've got a mate who's living over there. And that's all going to be road trip driving, that one. That's going to be fun. So that's my next trip I'm looking forward to. The one I'm not looking forward to, but will happen, is I'll be back in Vegas in January. Pretty much guaranteed. I haven't been told I'm officially going yet, but I can't see how I can't be going, in all honesty. So that's next.
So where are you going to go, Patrice?
Well, like you, Tom, I'm kind of debating on, like, there's so many places. I think for me, there's kind of four things I'm really looking forward to. One is Dublin. I've not been. I
Oh,
would definitely want to
fantastic.
go to Helsinki and finish up basically at least northern Scandinavia. I still have to do Denmark. And the other two are Toronto
Another great pick.
and probably Tokyo. So kind of a spread. Those four, and there's way more, but those are the four. I can't decide which one to do next. But that's
Toronto's a
all.
great city to visit. I
Yeah,
like
maybe
Toronto. That was
next
good
year.
fun.
Maybe next year, we'll see. Didn't do it this year. Yeah, anyway, you can find me on this very show every week and also on the Mac show tomorrow and almost every Friday unless I'm traveling. Very apropos topic. Yeah, 4 p.m. UK time tomorrow. By the way, we have a live stream as well for that, live.britishtechnetwork.com. I forgot to mention that earlier. Everything I'm doing, thepatrice.com is my website, brings you there. I did do a little update on it, so not a lot, just small things. And Jeff and I have a really cool show called Retro Rewatch. We rewatch retro TV shows, and usually it's Jeff has not seen it before, and I love it. So we are in the beginning of season 3 of Stargate SG-1 right now. We did do a little detour and watched Gilmore Girls together, the pilot episode. Really interesting, very different, but very interesting, and Jeff really loved it. And Zach, you can listen to that. And tomorrow, episode 2 of season 3 should be out. And yeah, British Tech Network is also available online. We're at britishtechnetwork.com on Blue Sky. We're at British Tech Network at techhangout.social. I was thinking, is it British Tech or British Tech Network? It's British Tech Network, I think, at techhangout.social. And you can do britishtech@gmail.com, I think, if you want to send us an email, or you want an email. Yeah, and with that, thank you so much for listening. Thanks, Ian and Tom, for the awesome travel episode. And yeah, see you soon. Bye bye.